Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? We welcome you into the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here with you, joined alongside by the franchise, Matt Franciscovich in the building, holding a beautiful Nerf ball on a Thursday.
Yeah, what up? I'm excited.
It reminds me of my youth.
It does.
I love those
things,
man.
Nice, it's got a nice grip on it.
Absolutely.
Here,
you throw perfect spirals every single time.
Tight spirals.
Love
it. Tight windows per next-gen stats.
Oh, per next-gen stats.
Some front yard football.
Wow, franchise is fired up.
Some nerf-gen stats.
Nerf-gen stats.
Nerf-gen.
Let's go. Matt Harmon in the building. What's up?
It's good to be here.
Yeah?
I wonder if there is a tracking chip in that ball.
We may never know.
What?
Mm-hmm. It might appear on the dashboard. You know.
Let me check. I'm going to look at those.
Yeah,
look at those numbers.
Refresh the page.
Please look at those numbers. We have the WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Gielhart, in the building as well. What's going on?
I'm just trying to not. It's not.
He's
a,
on Tinder.
Not putting
He's
out,
on Tinder?
Not putting out a
Boom.
Fire.
Yeah, I was going to say, somebody better rip on him for
I'm
being
trying
on
to,
his phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to help Lance Zierlein with his draft profiles that just went live that we have a big impact on that generate a lot of traffic.
Apology
so why don't you
accepted.
Shut up.
Apology accepted, one.
Roasted.
And two.
You roasted.
You just tried to make yourself sound super important.
Yeah.
In a note.
So cool.
Okay. All right.
Didn't really redeem yourself to the listening audience.
Hey, we got producer Erica in the
hey
building.
Hey, guys.
The loose cannon.
Hey,
yo,
how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's gonna.
Oh God.
Do you have an official statement you want to read off, or just any?
Just wing it.
You we
just
get
need
off your get off.
LFG,
your chest?
Baby.
What's that mean?
Yeah.
We don't need her to.
This is a
family show for the
Let's
family organization.
Let's effing go.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Okay. You're gonna be on mute. Okay.
Well, she controls everything back there. How are you gonna put her on mute?
That's a good point.
What was that?
That's a good point.
What was that?
She.
What?
No, wait, not me. I didn't get muted.
Wait, I can't. I can't.
Wait, me too?
No.
I was
no.
the one defending you.
No, you two are fine.
She's definitely muted,
this
James,
is great.
At home.
And all right,
Fred. So I'll be hosting the podcast for today.
What?
Wow, that's going to be very disorienting
right,
to listeners, but
I'm back.
We're good.
Oh, that was fun.
She has too little. Much power behind the glass.
I don't know. I think I'm on Erica's side. Go back.
Oh,
that's right.
Man. All right. We're going to be talking to producer Chris as well. He's in Mobile covering the Senior Bowl. Going to talk to him about some offensive players that may have stood out to him. Get a live report from Alabama. Senior Bowl. Here we go. Chris Harry on the ground. So we're going to be calling him. Hopefully he answers our phone call. We'll see.
These are boots on the ground.
I'm excited to hear if he has any hot gossip, too.
That's true.
I mean, that's where, like, a lot of league sources are, coaches.
You right.
You see him out at bars and stuff. I'm just curious if, like, he's seen anything interesting on that front.
Senior Bowl Twitter has been quite an experience the last couple of days.
Oh, yeah.
Senior Bowl
absolutely.
Twitter is lit. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you know we're getting real close to the offseason.
Yeah, I know, man. I need to get in on draft stuff, too. I've done nothing.
I gotta be honest with you, man. I spent about an hour and a half yesterday just looking at random
numbers.
Of course the numbers. Gotta look at them numbers, man.
Football's a professional.
I don't know about that. I think I'm just bored with no life. But yeah, I was watching random wide receiver tape that we're gonna be
grinding film?
A little bit. It was a little weird. I was kinda getting into it.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was weird. We shall be talking about Senior Bowl today. We'll, of course, close out with Daily Desk. We'll start your show, as we always do, with your top fantasy headlines.
Breaking news.
News.
I like turtles.
We really need to get some drops.
Yeah.
Come on. We'll figure
saying
it out.
That. We're never going to do
it. We're never going to do it. I don't know.
I don't.
I'm not motivated to make one. That's the problem here.
You don't want Shadow. You don't want to put in the effort and then if Shadow.
Yeah, you know what I mean? What am I going to do?
Again.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. Anyways, here we go. Let's go to Miami. Jarvis Landry could be a Raven next year. Could he? I don't know. We'll find out. The Baltimore Suns, Jeff, I never know how to say his name. Zrebeck?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Jeff Zrebeck. Follow him on Twitter. It's Zrebeck. He says the Ravens spoke to the Dolphins last offseason about a potential trade and could make a bid for the services of Jarvis Landry in free agency. The estimated price tag for the unrestricted free agent north of $13 million per year. There's almost no chance the Dolphins franchise Landry at least to most reports. And Dolphins beat guy Armando Salguero speculates the team would like to bring Jarvis Landry back, but at around $11 or $12 million per year, given the fact that it is a very shallow free agent class at the wide receiver position. I think it's fair to speculate that Landry could see north of $13 million. But, gentlemen, your thoughts there?
He's not coming back. I've thought all along he's not going to come back to Miami. I know they're not going to franchise him. That's obvious. They've always seemed to have like kind of a testy relationship, and I don't know. Landry is a temperamental guy. You see it with the way he plays on the field.
Right.
I think he's definitely going to price himself out of what Miami wants to pay him. I don't expect to be back, and the Ravens make sense as a fit. He could kind of play a similar role to what Steve Smith played in his latter years there, what Anquan Boldin played for that team. I'm interested to see like what happens when Landry doesn't play for the Dolphins, because they've kind of always pigeonholed him into this role where he's right around the line of scrimmage, and I think he's mostly a short route runner, but I don't know, averaging like 8 yards a catch, that's not going to really do it for me. So I'd like to see him go somewhere that's going to let him go a little bit more downfield, because he's a good contested catch player. So I don't know, he's one of the more interesting players to watch in free agency, but yeah, 100% don't expect him back with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect it either.
They got Devontae Parker and Kenny Stills under contract there, and
I guess, but he's like been he's led the team in targets at like pretty much ever since he's been there. It's a big piece of their passing game.
Huge piece.
He set a new Dolphins franchise record for most receptions in a season, 112 last year, breaking his own record set in 2015 with 110.
Right.
He's had over 160 targets two of the last three seasons, career high 9 touchdowns with Jay Cutler last year. But didn't break 1,000 yards. So.
Right. I mean, the bottom line is you don't, as Matt Harmon has noted many times, you don't want to run your offense through a slot guy.
Yeah.
But that being said, I mean, he's such a reliable target.
Yeah.
You know, great, you know, in terms of separation and route running and great hands as well. So, if Miami loses him, that's a big piece. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, keeps him in positive down and distance situations. If Adam Gase is a guy that wants to run that ball, Jarvis Landry fits that mold too. So, I you're right. I mean, if he leaves Miami, go somewhere else. That's a big chunk of that offense that's going to be missing.
Baltimore confuses me a little bit because they used Jeremy Maclin so much in that Steve Smith role last year too. Played him a lot in the slot. I was looking at NGS. They had him lining up there 51% of the time.
And he was terrible though.
He wasn't great. Yeah, but I mean, what are they going to do with him? Just put him.
They're going to cut him.
He's got a decently sized cap hit looking at his contract, though.
Yeah. What's it like if they cut him?
7.5 million is his cap hit, 2.5 in dead cap. I guess that's not so terrible.
Yeah, 2.5. Yeah, he's gone. Dude.
He's going to get cut. Yeah, he can't stay healthy either. He stinks and he can't stay healthy.
Well, he's definitely getting up there in age.
I think the Chiefs were right about it. That was like a confusing release when they cut him, but I think they were right about him.
Just kind of throwing a number out there. When we say a franchise tag for a wide receiver, probably be around the $16 million mark. That's the estimated franchise tag price for a wide receiver. So $16 million. So, again, would Miami franchise and pay this guy $16 million next year? Not going to happen.
What about other fits? Any other teams off the top of your head that you think that you'd like to see a player like Jarvis Landry?
It's a very good question. Let me think about that real quickly as I just stall and pull some dead air.
Well, I mean, San Francisco is always going to be a landing spot because they're so far under the cap.
They definitely need wide receiver help.
I thought Trent Taylor really came along in the back half, especially when Jimmy G was under center. So maybe they feel like they don't really want to invest that kind of capital in a player that, you know, plays a similar position to Trent Taylor, and they got usable production out of Trent Taylor as well. Mm-hmm. So
Garçon coming back too.
Yeah, salary cap wise, I think it makes sense. From a schematic fit, I don't know.
Indy could use another number two since Dante Moncrief hasn't panned out, and Kamar Aiken is kind of a non-factor there outside of T.Y. Hilton.
And
for
sure, I think that's a great fit. Especially because T.Y. is the guy that's going to take the top off the defense. Dante Moncrief would be a guy that's great around the red zone, as we've seen, and they don't really have somebody who's reliable underneath.
I think Moncrief's a free agent, to be honest.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah,
well, you're right.
He's a free agent.
No, you're right.
I would expect him to test the market for sure. What about? I think Oakland is probably going to get rid of Crabtree.
Oh, that was a rumor. Yeah.
Yeah. That's almost guaranteed. Just given his price tag, so he will almost certainly be gone.
Could see that as a fit potentially.
Sure. Absolutely. Look, there's no shortage of places. I think that a guy like Jarvis Landry, who's we're talking about 100 receptions, 1,000 yards. I mean, you know, developing player as well. So I don't know. I like the point that you brought up, which is I wonder what happens if he goes into a new team, new space, and says, and as he's testing free agency, maybe he wants to market himself more as like a down the field guy.
Yeah, I think he should stay as a, mostly a slot receiver and primarily a possession guy, but just use him on more routes than just slants and drags. Like
right.
have him do, you know, maybe some more vertical
and screens. Don't forget
and those cute screens, which with a player that's like, you know, he's good at breaking tackles, but he's never been great in space or whatever. So I don't know. He's definitely going to be someone that'll. But I always am like, you know, kind of iffy about receivers changing teams. That's something I'd like to explore more. As we get closer to the free agency period. But, you know, I also think, too, like, as much as Jarvis, some of, like, those receptions that Jarvis Landry has racked up in Miami, they've been kind of empty receptions.
Yeah.
Because there's just, again, they're, like, 5 yards down the field.
If that.
If not real, not really doing much. I do think, like, what comes from their passing game. Like, because it is a big piece to lose. It's a big chunk of items, but like what happens? Does Devontae Parker take the next step?
This is finally the year for Devontae Parker.
See, I don't know.
Of all the years that are supposed to spend this is actually the year.
I think they could receiver could be a big need for them. Then also, I would be looking for sleepers like a Leontay Caroud, Jakeem Grant.
I was going to say that Jakeem Grant flashed a little bit. I still liked Leontay Caroud coming out of college, so I think
he
could maybe
–
he has done nothing, but he could probably slide into that a similar role that Landry used to play.
Sure.
He did attack more downfield in college, but
– yeah.
We talk about it being a pretty weak wide receiver class, and this is why. The other two big names out there – that are unrestricted free agents, Allen Robinson and Sammy Watkins. Allen Robinson almost assuredly will get franchise tag because, again, the Jaguars so far under the cap, you know, they don't really need to spend anywhere, so why not just tag
Allen
Robinson?
How far are they under the cap? I know you noted that, but, like, their defensive guys are getting paid. I mean, Bouye's getting paid.
That's true.
Calais Campbell's
getting paid. Yeah, but, I mean, if you think about
– Sean Telvin Smith.
You know what it is? Anytime you get a team that has a quarterback under a rookie deal,
right.
they're almost assuredly under
per,
the
cap. But they're not going to
– per spot track right now, they are about 25 mil under the cap. That's the 19th most in the league.
But they're not going to be that team next year. You know, Bortles is a player that I think they picked up the fifth-year option.
Yeah.
They're going to pay him that money next year. That's a pretty decent chunk of change. Then are they going to re-sign Bortles? If they don't, if they do decide, hey, we're gonna let Bortles walk.
I feel like it's going to be like this year, where it's just going to be a wait and see approach for Bortles. Don't you think?
They've got some maneuvers they can make. Chris Ivory's probably sitting there with
a gajillion dollars
on the cap from his contract a couple years ago.
Blurbs on RotoWorld posted yesterday also said they're probably going to release Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns.
Yeah, well, they have an out.
They have an out
for Ivory too.
Lee is a free agent, so he can walk.
Do they have an out for Allen
Hurns?
Because they signed him to a big deal.
I think they can $47 million Hurns, but because they picked up the fifth-year option on Blake, he makes $19 million this year.
Yeah, but that's still extremely affordable for a quarterback. You know what I mean?
But for a Blake Bortles level?
No.
I mean, that's not what I'm saying. Like, they're either paying Blake $19 million. That's a big jump from $3 million they were paying him this year.
Damn.
And then if they decide they don't want to, that they want to cut Blake, renegotiate him to, like, maybe a $9 million or whatever.
Yeah.
Then, like,
do they then go
and pursue another quarterback?
Hmm.
I don't know.
And then I see what you're saying. So it's a domino effect. If they restructure his contract and then they still pursue another free agent quarterback who might be either a high-priced backup or maybe just a straight starter, then there's no cap at all.
Yeah, do they go for a Kirk Cousins
type player?
So I don't know.
Some dominoes could fall.
Right. So I don't know that it's a total guarantee that they – I think they probably end up franchising Robinson, but do they then sign him to a long-term deal? I don't know. Jacksonville's in a tough spot right now because the defense is paid, and other guys like Yannick Ngakoue got to get paid eventually.
Right.
There are several other players.
Yannick
Ngakoue. There are several other players that are going to be paid. I mean, they're paying Marcel Darius, I think, double digits. And so Jacksonville's in a tough spot right now in terms of team building, because they got to pay their defense.
Yeah.
They got to improve their offense, but they can't then sink more money into their offense.
To your point as well, we're talking about a player coming off of an ACL tear. You know, I think normally you would not franchise tag this guy. I think you'd probably try to negotiate with him and just say, hey, listen, let's bring you back at a reasonable rate.
Yeah.
You're coming off of a serious injury. You know what I mean? Your market right now is probably not that great.
Yeah.
So you might be right. You might be right. I was kind of just going off the regular old normal super conservative NFL front office, you know, that doesn't generally make big splashy moves if you look around the NFL. You know what I mean? It's very rare to see teams make, you know, domino moves like what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, and the Bortles domino is a big domino to fall because, like I said, they're either going to jump his money up from $3 million in base salary to $19 million next year.
It's like a 7,000% increase.
Right, for not something that you earned. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That's the biggest domino.
Is your math correct on that?
No, that was a rough estimate.
A rough estimate. I think you got it.
Ballpark.
7,000%.
It's a lot. That's a big jump.
It's also worth noting that, and again, I still would expect Jacksonville to bring back Robinson on a franchise tag or whatever because he's their best receiver. But it's also fair to note that they got some good production out of other guys this year.
Cole's a rookie,
Keelan
right?
Westbrook flashed towards the end of the year.
Oh, yeah, Dee.
I mean, Keelan Cole led the team in receiving yards.
He looked good.
He was legit good. He's someone I really like.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
So, you know, obviously they're gonna bounce Lee. They're going to bounce Hearns. They're going to bounce Chris Ivory. So they got some room to work with, but still, it's worth it. It's worth a discussion.
All right, there you go. Again, Allen Robinson, Sammy Watkins, and Jarvis Landry are your top three names.
I think Paul Richard. There are a couple more interesting in there. Paul Richardson, finally healthy, flashed like some huge big play potential this year, and he's a free agent.
But if we're talking about
was showing up a little bit.
Yeah,
and I mean Harmon will still probably defend him till his grave. John Brown, free agent.
I mean, there are several, like, the top – you're right, Ko, that the top end of the free agent market, like, that's probably it.
That's
it. There are several intriguing, like, reclamation projects, whether you want to talk about John Brown, Dante Moncrief, some of these guys.
Even Terrell Pryor to a degree, but yeah.
That's true. I mean, Pryor, you know, I think he could take another, like, $6 million deal, maybe bet on himself, go somewhere else. I don't know.
You guys, Bert is a free agent.
Bert alert. Albert Wilson.
Bert alert.
I think it would be
and Janice Packers. What are you doing? Lock him up.
Forgot about Janice. Easy to forget.
Can't let special teams king Jeff Janice walk out the door.
Oh my God. Anyways, look, getting back.
Bert, though, I bet he goes.
We're off the rails.
He could follow. We are way off the rails. Matt Nagy to is it Nagy?
I thought it was Nagy. I thought it was what they
said. It's a weekly debate.
Who knows?
Okay. He could go to Chicago.
Yeah, we need to get in deep on Bert here, James. Okay. It's off the rails.
I don't believe we do. I don't believe so. The question is, will the Rams franchise Sammy Watkins.
Right.
Okay. ESPN reporter Alden Gonzalez says it makes sense, but only if the Rams aren't forced to franchise tag safety LaMarcus Joyner, who is one of the team's best defensive players. A lot of folks say he's the second best defensive player on the Rams outside Aaron Donald.
Rams are in a good spot cap wise right now too.
They are.
They locked Donald up, right?
No,
they still have to do that? Okay, because he came back. I forgot if that happened during the year or not.
They're still working on that.
But they can get out of Tavon Austin's contract this year. Ooh. And they're still right now sitting like $45 million under the cap. They're going to be okay because they got Goff on that rookie deal for a couple more years.
Indeed. So there you go. But again, do they want to spend $16 million on a guy in Sammy Watkins who had less than 600 yards receiving last year? I mean, it's that's a big price tag.
Well, we talked about how he came over like, you know, 2 weeks into the preseason.
True.
And wasn't integrated in that offense, and another year under Sean McVay and all that stuff. So I think the potential is there for
it's
him.
It's also their only lid
be a big
too.
Right.
Yeah.
Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp are not taking people down over the top that often.
Les Snead, the Rams GM, was quoted on a Sporting News article this morning saying a goal of ours is to keep that wide receiver group together because a lot of our weapons are 25 and under. So it sounds like they definitely want to
crazy.
They want to keep walking.
Like how young this team is.
Yeah.
And how good they are.
Yeah.
You know what else is crazy?
So awesome.
Cooper Kupp and Sammy Watkins are like the same age.
That is crazy. Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Because
he was hashtag old for a rookie. Kupp was. And
Kupp
Watkins
was old
was really
for a
young.
Rookie, and Watkins was young for a rookie.
That's terrific, man. That's crazy stuff. But yeah, I'll be interested to see what the Rams do here. They could do a few different things with Sammy Watkins. But yeah,
I hope they keep him.
Yeah, me too.
I
would be shocked if they don't, because I think Sammy Watkins went
they
from
traded a second-round pick for him.
That's what I'm saying. They almost have to.
Yeah.
If you give up a second-round pick. You
and
mean,
a corner.
Yeah. Who wasn't thinking they gave EJ up? Gaines. EJ Gaines.
Oh, my God. They were born a day apart. Sorry. Cooper Kupp was born on June 9th.
Get out.
June 15th, 93.
Get out.
Watkins, June 14th, 93.
Really?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
They're basically the same player.
BSP.
BSP.
So, yeah, I think – I know fantasy owners are, like, dying to – to get Watkins out of there so he can get more targets or whatever. But grass just didn't always greener, man. I think you should just get, like you said, I'm with you guys 100%, have been the whole time. You should stay there, continue to grow in a place he's familiar. I don't want to see him change teams 3 times in 3 years.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing for him, too, right, is just the feel of it, right? So, like, he left a situation in Buffalo that it was – not a good relationship for him, you know what I mean? He can't. It was not great. His time in Buffalo, he was butting heads with the coaching staff and the general manager, and obviously ultimately ended getting traded. And then he goes to the Rams, where it was fun. You know what I mean? It was a fun year for the LA Rams.
To keep that whole group together, and you know, hopefully the fantasy tides can all lift together. Goff gets all three of those receivers, gets another year with McVay.
Yeah,
can maybe take another step as a passer. You got Todd Gurley, like. That offense was a fantasy bonanza for a while there, so let's keep it together.
If he goes
fantasy bonanza,
if Watkins comes back, what are the expectations there? I'm really excited about what Sammy Watkins can do from a fantasy perspective if he were to come back yet again.
He's a nice later round dart throw because you know he's probably got week winning potential in there, but he's also going to have the 2-target, 1-catch games because that's just the way the offense works.
See, you say later round. What does that mean? Because I'm saying I don't think he survives past round 6.
What?
Name value, bro.
Yeah,
name value.
I don't know. He was so annoying to own last year.
And he has been for years. Like,
right.
Woods and Couple go before him.
I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I don't know if Woods does. Woods is going to be a fun player to debate. This past year too. This was easily his best pro season.
Yeah,
total outlier. Does he repeat that production? Does the tide go more towards Sammy Watkins, who's probably a more talented player? I don't know. There's that passing attack could look different going into next year. I think Cup is the solid one.
It's like that debate we've had the last, or at least coming into this season, certainly between Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. It's like, okay, Crabtree has clearly established himself as the go-to target in that offense, but yet people were chasing the upside of Amari Cooper. You know, so I think that may be what happens between Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods.
Sixth round, though? I was going to say, like, round 10 for
Watkins.
Just
think just because of name value.
Maybe later.
You know, that's it. If this guy played for, I don't know, a lesser-known franchise and wasn't the high draft pick that he was.
Yeah, I don't think he goes as high as you say, as low as you say, and I don't think he goes as high as you say, somewhere in the middle, maybe around 8.
Okay, sounds about right.
I'm trying to think of a team comparison for, like, the wide receivers, but I feel like this maybe these guys go off the board kind of akin to how the Ravens did last year, where Mike Wallace and Jeremy Maclin were going in rounds, like, 8 to 11, depending on, like, how big the league was and how people, you know, viewed them. And
sure.
Some people were higher on others, and some people were worried about Joe Flacco's injury, but there's not a clear number one, but both have, you know, easy paths to upside. So
I'm saying, man, you got to think about some of the receivers that are going, like, in round 10 last year. Like, Ted Ginn's going in, like, round 10.
Adam Thielen was going in, like, round 10.
I know, but people did not know Adam Thielen was going to have this.
Also, you know what? All of the best, like, later-round receivers, like, tore their ACLs before the season, though. Quincy Enunwa, Cameron Meredith. Like,
oh, my God. I forgot about all these guys. Jeez. Good Lord. All right, so we'll shift and talk about from Gopher players to offense coordinators here, but Todd Haley goes from Pittsburgh to Cleveland. He's the new OC in Cleveland, which is like, I mean, you're going from the penthouse to the basement, man. Pittsburgh to Cleveland. All right, so I'll throw this out here. More or less than 12 months on the job. We all know it's not going to work.
This is right now.
We all know
but
it's
from
not.
Today, from January 25th.
Yes.
More.
Less.
More.
Oh, gosh.
He will be fired.
I'm going to say less, but I feel like it's going to be 10 or 11 months.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, I think he'll finish.
Here's what's probably going to happen. Yeah. The Browns struggle again. Hugh actually gets fired this year.
Right.
Todd Haley named interim head coach.
Oh,
the year they're all gone.
Right.
Oh,
right.
That's
what I was going to say.
That's a good path.
But that's why I had to do the math of, like, the year calendar when the coaches would get out.
This
is still tenuous.
That's a good path.
This still could be the time where the Browns are interviewing, you know, some hot offensive or waiting to interview some hot OC that's in the playoffs and they haven't, like, cleaned house yet.
I think the more interesting prop bets for this situation is, one, how many fights do we witness on the sideline between these two?
Between Haley and Hugh?
Yeah, between Haley and
Hugh. Listen, man, like Haley is not going to take Hugh's crap. That's why I'm saying it's definitely less than 12 months.
Not to mention, they don't even come from the same coaching like philosophy. Hugh's a West Coast guy, and Haley doesn't run a West Coast offense. So who's going to adapt to who? Neither one of them seems like the type of guy that wants to do much adapting.
Right.
I remember they've proven that in their coaching tenure.
That's what I'm saying. Absolutely proven that. I think Hugh is going to want – I mean, because he's kept his job because he's been a snake, and I think he'll snake around in the offense.
That's what I'm saying.
So that's definitely – like, even beyond just a personality, like their football philosophy, someone's going to have to give to somebody, and I don't know that either one of these guys wants to give. And then the other one is who actually lasts longer.
Oh, man.
Does Hugh – live out the season
and
fire Todd Haley.
You know what? That's a good one.
Take the play calling back, or does the scenario that Alex just laid
out? That's yours. That's another very likely scenario.
But you know, but here's the thing:
ownership
though.
Likes you.
That's true. That's true. You know, and I think that might be more likely because that's how it always falls, right? Like the OC always gets canned before the head coach.
Yeah, you got to find
fall guy.
You got to get a fall guy.
Hugh has been great at is finding the fall guy.
Like the Steelers.
Great point.
Yeah, I think that he
I don't know, man. If his 1-31 record or whatever is all of a sudden like 1-41, I don't think ownership's going to be like, yeah, you know what? Todd Haley's the problem.
Man, Todd Haley's the problem.
I mean, they
can you imagine if he goes like 1-41? That'd be insane.
Yeah.
That would be insane.
Also, it sucks, too, because some quarterback at number one overall is going to be coming into this environment, whether it's Sam Darnold, whether it's Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, whatever.
Oh, God.
Forget a couple Joshes here.
We've got to hope for them that they get the Jared Goff lottery luck where they come into this situation in year one.
Yeah.
It's shaken up.
Yeah,
and they get a good person next to.
But they probably won't. They're probably going to keep you for like 10 years.
Holy hell.
It's going to have a 1
This is the darkest timeline right now.
It's going to have like a 1-100 season.
But it just sucks because, like I said, some quarterback is going to have to get nurtured in that environment. There's going to be chaos right away.
All right. So let's start talking about Senior Bowl. All right. And to do that, we're going to talk about who stood out. We got boots on the ground. We got producer Chris Harry on the line. Producer Chris, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
We're doing well.
Yes. What's it like down there? What's the weather like?
First of all, can I tell you about my travel
Please.
Story?
Oh, well, you wouldn't be a professional NFL reporter if you didn't talk about your travel.
This was pretty good, though. So I left. God, I don't even know when I left. I left some night. I think I left Monday. And the connection to Mobile was in Dallas, right? So we get to Dallas. Some of the Rams guys are on the same flight as me. And we get on our flight to Mobile, and the pilot kind of cringes and says, you need to get off the plane. It was extreme fog, so my flight got canceled. I had to stay in Dallas, and, you know, unnamed airline didn't give me a hotel voucher or anything.
What?
So, you know, you make the most of it. Yeah, it wasn't
they
really
cancel
great,
your flight, but they don't give you a where were you sleeping, bro? Were you sleeping in the lobby?
At a Best Western Plus. VFW. So we made it work. So
okay.
Get this. The next morning, we're getting on our flight to Mobile. Baker Mayfield's on my flight.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, you were on the Baker Mayfield flight.
I was on the Baker Mayfield flight. You know, there was a bunch of handlers there in Mobile waiting for him, signs and cars and everything. So
sick.
I introduced myself there for a minute. Really, really nice, respectful kid. And he's showing out at Senior Bowl. So it's been a lot of fun. It's like, you know, this is kind of like the NFL, like, it's like almost like an unofficial spring break, like that combine and the Senior Bowl, because it's all coaches, it's all scouts,
right.
All GMs, all media. They all converge onto this small city, and you see them everywhere at these you know, lobby bars to some of the cool restaurants down in Mobile.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been a fun week.
And we're going to hit, after we talk football and everything, we're going to hit on that part of the experience too. Don't worry, we're going to double back. We're going to double back to that because I want some gossip. So be ready for that.
All right, Chris. Hey, listen, you've been on the practice field for what, a couple days now, right?
Yeah, the third day of practice is today. I'm going to head over there in a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, no, you know, it's been cool just to talk again because, you know, like DJ and Bucky and Lance Dierlein, who I talked to yesterday, those are the guys whose opinions truly matter.
Sure.
You know, and they know what's up. But you hear a lot of names. Obviously, the headliners are Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen. You hear a ton about Josh Allen's arm strength and Baker Mayfield and, you know, his competitiveness. And, you know, these guys are competing with each other in a sense. Yeah, I actually talked to Lance Erline about this yesterday because, you know, you have the North team and you have the South team. And he said these 3 days of practice, that's what the GMs and the scouts are actually watching.
Yeah, the game.
You know, the game doesn't matter as much. So it's essentially the North versus the North and the South versus the South. And you're just watching. I think just the one thing that I think is so fun to watch is just these guys competing with each other because they know what's on the line. They know all these scouts are watching and all these coaches and GMs. And, you know, listen, Josh Allen's got an arm. Baker Mayfield has played really well. And, you know, I think the other quarterbacks here are, you know, obviously behind those guys. And, you know, they're trying to show out and make a name for themselves as well. But a few guys have stood out this week.
Yeah, so other than the big names, you mentioned Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield. Oh, by the way, so if you're not that familiar with the Senior Bowl setup, there's a lot of one-on-one drills. This is why these practices are important, and this is how guys, prospects, do show out a little bit in front of scouts and coaches. There are a lot of one-on-one drills, so, you know, the talent evaluators really get a close eye and really get individual looks at certain players. That's why these practices, in a large sense, it is more important than the game itself. But, okay, so other than the big-name guys.
Well, first, I do want to ask, Chris, like, of the two quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen, which one has looked better to you? Because they're kind of like polar opposites, you know? Allen has the frame, the arm strength, all that, but he doesn't have the college production or whatever. Mayfield, he's short. He's got more of a fiery personality, but he does have the production. He's supposed to be the hyper-accurate quarterback. Which one, just a raw eye test, has looked better to you?
To me, it's Baker. The thing about Josh Allen, I mean, if you go strictly eye test and just his arm, you're like, oh, my God, this guy's incredible. But you have to, you know, this is just one piece of the pie. I mean, the fact that he's a small school kid, I actually talked to Lance Erline about Josh Allen, you know, yesterday, and he said the fact that he's a small school kid and the college production in terms of, you know, I don't know if it's wins and losses, but just the fact that you're playing in a small school and then automatically you are going to be the face of a franchise. I mean, that's the big leap that Josh Allen has to make. But I mean, in terms of arm strength and making all the throws, I mean, that guy, he can do it. The thing about Baker, I mean, everybody kind of gravitates towards that guy. You know what I mean? And he may not have the prettiest ball, you know, in comparison to Josh Allen, but he's got the college production, and I think he's got that competitiveness. He's the alpha. I think you mentioned to Charles Davis, like, he got here late, but he wants to be the alpha in the room. So, you know, man, I defer to the guys who watch the tape all the time, but for me, Baker Mayfield seems like the dude that you run through a wall for if you're his teammates.
There you go. All right, so again, getting away from the quarterbacks a little bit, who has stood out to you from an offensive standpoint, Chris?
You know, the skill position players, obviously you have Rashad Penny, the running back from San Diego State, is kind of the headliner at the running back position. And, you know, the draft class is so loaded with underclassmen that are not here. But there's this one dude from Arizona State, Kalen Ballage, who has had a really good start to the Senior Bowl. He ran hard on the first day. A lot of people I've talked to, and, you know, you hear his name a lot. So he, from a skill position standpoint, that's a guy to certainly keep your eye on in a deep running back class. And then there's a couple wide receivers that Scout told me about yesterday. Michael Gallup, I think, from Colorado State, and Deshaun Hamilton from Penn State. Both have had good weeks. And, you know, Calvin Ridley, guys like that, they're going to be first rounders. But, you know, these are guys that you can get in, you know, middle rounds. And depending on where they go, you know, you never know if they're going to have a fantasy impact. But the one guy who is not a skill position player, but an offensive guard, everywhere I turn, you hear this name, Will Hernandez. And he'll be someone to watch on Saturdays, this offensive guard from UTEP. These small school guys have an opportunity to show out because when you go to the Senior Bowl, you're going up against top talent. You know, the best of the best are here. So when you have small school guys, you want to see if they're going to be able to step up and hang with some of these Power 5 conference players. And this is a guy who people are saying is one of the best guards in the draft, and he's really showing out this week.
Penn State wide receiver U.
There it is.
I'm intrigued by this Kalen Ballage character now. I need to go watch him, and I think he's going to be a name to watch at the Combine. I was just reading a little bit about him here. An AC Central story has him with a 37-inch vertical leap and a long jump of 9 feet, almost 10 feet, and he's 6'3", 230.
Holy crap.
Yeah, man, and he, you know, he's catching balls out of the backfield. I think he's on the North team.
Yep, North number 27 if you watch the game this weekend.
You know what's cool, though? It's really cool to watch these pro coach success, because the thing about this week, it really simulates a game week in the NFL. You have an install at the beginning of the week. You have 3 days of practices. Then you have the game on Saturday, which doesn't mean as much. But the coaches and the GMs and the scouts, they have the opportunity to interview these guys at night. And just to see how they go through a week, how they prepare, how the moment, you know, if the moment's too big for them, how they get along with their teammates, how they carry themselves, you know, off the field. I mean, there's so many things that go into it. It's just one slice of the pie in the evaluation process.
Right.
But it's definitely a big one. I mean, I talked to Tom Telesco yesterday for the Chargers podcast. I mean, last year, Dan Feeney, Forrest Lamp, Desmond King, Rayshon Jenkins, all these guys were drafted by the Chargers. All of them were at the Senior Bowl last year. So, you know, this is a big deal, even though it's just one part of the evaluation process.
All right.
So, Chris, just before we let you go, I want to know, what's the gossip like down there? You got any good stories in terms of NFL coaches you've seen, NFL, you know, that you can share? Then, you know, obviously, please text me any more juicy gossip that you can't share on the podcast.
Send it on that in DM, terms, baby.
In terms of, you know, any weird things you've seen some media people doing.
Who you've seen throwing back shots.
Yeah, that's what we want to know. Before you get out of here.
You know what's fun? I'm actually at the main hotel, the Riverview, down here, and that's where players are staying. And not any juicy gossip. It's just fun to see, like, coach. Like, I'm sitting in the stands. Andy Reid's two rows behind me, just kicking it. You know, it's just cool to see the coaches and scouts sitting there among the fans, among the media, because, you know, I think some scouts are very particular about where they sit and how they evaluate and where they watch the practices. But just that aspect of it, man, it's kind of surreal to walk right, see, you know, Reggie McKenzie to your right and Andy Reid behind you and John Harbaugh on the field and Dimitroff and Dan Quinn strolling the sidelines. I mean, that's the kind of surreal part of this whole experience, because everybody's down here, man. I mean, the scouts, the coaches, and then you couple that with all the media here, ton of media. I actually ran into somebody that knows Matt Harmon well yesterday. Yeah. Optimum Scouting.
Oh, it's Eric. Yeah, Eric. Yeah, I used to work for him.
That's great, man. That's great.
Yeah. So Harmon's name's being thrown around a little bit here. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, God. That was a roundabout way for Harmon to get a shout out.
Yeah, that was Harmon's whole agenda by that question.
That was it.
That'll
do.
Did I do a good job?
Yes, you did.
That was perfect. That was awesome, Chris.
That was
but
great,
seriously,
man.
Yeah, you played it real professional. You dropped a bunch of names, but later on, just hit me with the real guy.
There you go.
Off the record.
Thanks, Chris.
Producer Chris. Chris Harey, boots on the ground in Mobile, Alabama.
All right, giving,
all right, see you
later,
man. Appreciate your time.
Yep.
Giving us the lowdown on the Senior Bowl. All right, that's it for Senior Bowl practices for today. We'll talk more Senior Bowl stuff on Monday as well. But let's close out your show with a round of daily daps.
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 Alex Gellhart, kick us off.
I've been to the cinema twice last week.
Yes.
Oscar nominations came out, I think, Tuesday morning. All and right. I had just a few outstanding films I'm trying to get out of the way. So I have seen everything. I went to see Three Billboards on Tuesday night, which was pretty good. The performances are really great. It's Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, with Frances McDormand, Woody Harrelson, Sam Rockwell.
All right.
Seen a gazillion billboards around town here. I don't know why that's a thing.
Why is that a movie?
Yeah.
You know?
It's all right. You should go check it out. It's good. Okay. But I saw Phantom Thread last night, which is supposed to be Daniel Day-Lewis's final movie. It's written and directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, who's fantastic. He did There Will Be Blood, The Master, bunch of great movies. But Phantom Thread was really good. It was kind of surprising because it's – well, not surprising. I mean, I figured it would be a good movie. But it's got some great, like, dark comedic moments, and the acting is superb, and it just looks great. And I loved it. So go check
it
out.
There you go.
Very cool.
I'm going to piggyback off of this. I'll get two daily daps. One is to Enlightened Ice Cream. I'm on this stupid diet, and I'm embarrassed to say it, but whatever. Who cares?
Dude, come on.
You're bettering yourself, bro. Don't
like
be embarrassed.
New Year's resolutions.
Jesus. Anyways, this ice cream is helping me get through. I'm a sweet fiend, right? So, man, I love donuts and you know, pastries and pies and all the kind of good stuff. And I love ice cream, too. Anyways, Enlightened Ice Cream, which I discovered at my local grocery store, it's crazy how much better for you it is than regular ice cream. It does not taste bad at all. Anyways, okay. The flavors that I would recommend, there's two flavors in particular that I would recommend because I've gone through about four or five. Cold brew coffee, which is great.
Whoa.
And Banana Foster. Anyways, it's...
Just have you ever had like Halo Top?
Halo Top's good.
I've had Halo Top too. I think this is better than Halo Top.
Ooh.
So the cold brew coffee flavor, by the way, so it's 60 calories per serving. An entire pint is four servings. So it's an entire pint is 240 calories, which is banana pants, right? Yeah. So anyways, I just want to say it's good. Enlightened Coffee, if you want to get it, coffee or Banana Foster.
We will accept flavors. Your sponsorship.
Okay, so the second one is I found a shirt online that I wanted to give to Alex Gilhar right now.
Oh, wow.
We're doing it live on the pod.
We're doing it live. What's the shirt?
Oh, damn it.
What's it say?
Show it to French.
What's Hold on.
Open it up. Open it up.
Franchise, you're going to love it. Oh, are you going to Snapchat this?
No, I'm just going to get a photo real quick. What's the shirt?
I saw a shirt. And it says,
get a life.
Get a life.
That's amazing.
It's got the Mario 1-Up thing on it.
It does. So I was thinking about getting a Hocus Pocus That's shirt hilarious. For you because they have those online as well.
Hell yeah. I wear it with pride. Great movie.
Shirt smells like.
Gilhar's become a meme.
Shirt smells like vinegar.
That was kind of
weird.
Might be
That's amazing. Cole, high five.
There it is. So I saw that, but I figured for a gag gift, that's actually a shirt that you could wear.
Oh, I'll definitely wear that shirt.
You could Maybe wear it because it has the 1-Up mushroom.
You did get a life.
Yeah, get a life.
That's hilarious.
That's awesome. And it has a gaming, you know.
Gaming tie-in.
Mario.
You know what? That's going to go perfectly for when you guys do your Mario Kart tournament.
There you go. Nice. The Easter tradition.
Yeah, you know.
Sick.
It's going to go perfectly with that. So there you go. Matt Harmon, what you got?
So I'm going to daily dap our little adventure Monday night with all of our friends in the fantasy industry.
Nice.
There, the FSTA conference was in.
Oh, nice.
Was in town this week, so we met up with a few pals.
There were like 25 different people there. Yeah, it was quite a turnout.
Fantasy Bros and Liz Loza descended on this bar Monday night in the Cozy right here in Culver City. So it was quite a blast. We paid for it Tuesday.
Okay.
So that was great. Awesome just to meet a bunch of people that you tweet with online and your pals that way, and then you become real life pals. So
that's
great.
Cool.
Got to meet a bunch of people there. And I'm going to pre-dap our weekend in Vegas.
What?
Yeah, that's going to be my dap. I'll just piggyback on
okay.
My bachelor party is this weekend.
Oh.
In Vegas.
Nice.
I'm leaving this evening.
I have already made an executive decision that Marcus, Alex, and I, who are driving down together, we are going to I'm going to Periscope during the drive. We should
sit.
All right. Wait, on the way out and the way back?
On the way down and
before
the way
and after.
So, I'll tweet that out when it's live.
I'm kind of upset I didn't get an invite.
To my bachelor party?
Yeah, I'm so much fun.
We already have one Patriots fan coming on the bachelor party.
Show
we
up.
Do not need
that's,
to.
That's sexist.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Why can't I come?
It has nothing, to do with you being a woman.
Yes. It's literally everything to do with your annoying personality that we don't want to spend a weekend with.
It has nothing to do with you being a woman and, like, very little to do with you being a Patriots fan.
I think it has mostly to do with you being a Patriots fan.
Yeah, we do already have one coming, so that's
Vegas. Vegas!
Where are you guys staying, bro?
The MGM.
Oh,
but, you know, daily daps to my friendships with you guys because there's a 50-50 chance I survive.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I might not see you again. it should be fun. It's going
to
be fun.
You're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Campos, why don't you show up? We just told you where we're going to be.
Nope, I have plans.
Please don't. Cool.
I have a lot of plans.
Oh, you should.
I have, like, huge plans.
Not bigger than this.
You know what? It's really cool. I'll be thinking about you guys when I'm at the Super Bowl. So enjoy your weekend.
When
I'm with Justin Timberlake.
Have fun in zero
when I'm hanging
Minnesota.
Out with Justin Timberlake.
When you're with JT.
And taking shots with Tom Brady.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Are shots on the TB12 diet?
Shots of water.
Shots of water. Of course.
Cool. Vitamin
cool.
water.
Right. Of good. Okay, good. Perfect. Oh, there you go.
So, Eric, do you have a daily dap? Or do you just want
to
roast us?
I think we're about to
get a celebrity. Oh, crap. I got a question.
Oh, crap.
I got a question, guys.
Oh, crap.
Oh, my
God. I've seen Matt Money Smith lurking behind the glass.
You know me.
Oh, he's been making gestures.
I am a moth to light. I see a microphone, and I insist I insert myself into your broadcast.
Nice.
I just have to share with you that for the last 10 minutes I've been watching you do the pod, and I'm watching Franchise here spin that ball. I can't stop thinking that he's Tommy Wiseau, and he's just going to go, oh, hi, Matt.
Who wants
just
to
the
play
way
football?
That he's awkwardly spinning the football. Oh, hi, Alex. You want to play football?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, this is about the proximity that they threw the ball in
exactly.
the original film.
Exactly. I didn't hit her. Oh, hi, James.
But you have a minute to be on this podcast. And you want to come in with your Tommy Wiseau.
That's all I was thinking. That's just the way, because it's not. I assume it's not a. Is this a YouTube broadcast as well? It's just audio, right?
No.
So the fact that Franchise has the ball and he's spinning it for the last 10 minutes, he has not put it down.
I've had the whole.
Well, that's what I mean. The 10 minutes I figured you had, and so I just didn't know if you were waiting for your moment, if you were going to do your best impression.
No,
he hasn't seen it yet.
I've never seen the room.
Yeah, so you just spoiled it.
How does it? Oh, I did. Yeah, spoiler
exactly,
alert.
Spoiler alert.
Tommy walks onto the roof of an apartment. It's super awkward. And he says, oh, hey, Mark.
And that's the whole film.
That's it.
That's it.
They play football a lot.
Yeah, there you go.
That's nice. What a story.
He's got a hell of an arm.
There you go. The great Matt Money Smith.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Welcome, guys.
This is
why you stay through Daily Daps. That's
right, buddy.
Celebrity appearance.
Oh, wow. There you go. Producer Erica, we didn't ask you if you have a daily dap.
I'm just, you know what? I'm going to dap the Eagles for making it this far.
Don't
congrats.
Making it this far. Oh, my God.
Wow. All right. Okay. Let's get out of here.
This is why people hate Patriots fans.
I'm
being sincere.
No, you're
I am
not.
Being sincere.
No.
It is
right.
it is
nope.
it
nope.
is phenomenal.
That's it.
Nope. It is
end the
great.
Show. Play nope. the music.
Yeah, play backhanded
the music.
Sincerity. So cute of you to make it to the Super Bowl.
For the WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Gellhart, from Matt Harmon, Matt Franchise, and producer Eric, and Matt Money Smith, and Chris Haley, who was on the show as well. James Cole, peace.
See you later.